joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go.
Your commuter-sized geek tank, as opposed to your full-length, life-size geek tank?
I think a commuter-sized geek tank would be one that's just wide enough to go in the lanes.
Right. Big enough to fit an extra passenger so you can get in the HOV lane, which is high occupancy vehicle.
Right, and that's important.
Right. So we're kind of jumping the gun, I guess you could say. I stumbled across something that I thought we should cover as quickly as possible because it seems time sensitive.
Yeah.
And so we're recording and putting this at the head of our editing patch to
queue. So if you're in our editing queue and I've promised that I'm going to be releasing a podcast, forgive us for jumping ahead with this one, but this one's timely.
Yes, very. And we're hoping to get it out by Friday, so if you're listening to this Friday, that means we succeeded. If you're listening on Monday, that means maybe we got it out Friday and you chose to listen to it on Monday, or...
And if you're listening to this in August, then just write a complaint at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
What was that?
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
So if I decide that I'm upset at you guys for not time traveling back into my timeline and posting this earlier, I should write to you at...
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
That's right. So this all started yesterday. So I'd seen a post on Facebook from a friend, and she had said, I had hopes for this, .. They crashed. Please read if you plan on buying any of the fabric for cosplay. And then there's a link to an article about the Yaya Han fabrics that have recently been released at Joann Fabrics. And
right.
Yaya Han is a fairly famous cosplayer. And for the cosplay community, I think it's pretty exciting that it's getting to become such mainstream that a major fabrics place is going to carry fabric specifically for that.
And Yaya Han is sort of embroiled in and of herself. I mean, she's got a reputation that even I'm familiar with.
Right.
I'm not really a cosplayer, but just my cosplay friends around me, I've heard enough chatter about Yaya Han.
That has popped up.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of... I know she's got issues with the community.
Is that because of her becoming popular and rich off of it, or...?
I feel... And all of this is, like, feelings, because, like, you know, I pay closer attention to the modeling community because I build models.
Right.
So...
Not modeling, like, people
modeling,
that post
like
for
I
photos.
Model. I post for photos.
Yeah.
In the nude. Anyway, I have a feeling it's more like she's got an attitude. She's arrogant and kind of full of herself, and that irritates people.
Well, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much because it's not the topic.
But it is interesting.
But
we'll
think
come back to
a lot
it
of people
point.
That get to be famous tend to have that, and I think maybe there's some connection there with becoming famous. But that's a topic for a whole other.
It is
point,
too. It is, and I noticed that. I mean, having grown up with actors all of my life, there's a certain amount of self-confidence you need to survive.
Right.
You cannot survive in the industry without it. So,
yeah, I'd actually never heard of her until I watched that TV show, Heroes of Cosplay. And she was one of the main judges, so that's how I'd heard about her. And then a while back when they first announced that they were going to be releasing the material at Joann's, I believe we posted on our Facebook page.
Right.
Because that was pretty exciting news for cosplayers, and we try to cover all angles of geekdom. And so I have heard of her.
Yeah.
And so I went ahead and read the article that was linked, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but it is essentially saying that the material wasn't any good, it was overpriced, the quality was really low, and more importantly, that there was somebody who had an incident and sent to the hospital over it. And that was a link onto that. Let me read word for word what was posted here. It says, please don't buy Yaya Han's new fabric. There have been multiple reports of people breaking out in hives after using her fabric. There are no sources of this yet, but apparently she directed to have her fabric dipped in certain chemicals to keep the vibrancy. The fabric does say to not wash, and that only should be reason. I'm sorry, and that only should be reason to not buy it.
Should be reason,
yeah.
Not to buy it.
Yeah, so we have to put the words in because I didn't fill it all out. But this is kind of jumping ahead, and this is not 100% accurate after having done this. And I think that there may have been emotion involved when the person wrote this, and that's why they jumped to that. The fabric, to clarify, the fabric does say to wash in cold water by hand only. So it doesn't say not to wash it at all.
Right. Right. And I mean, I think, I wonder, I don't know. I mean, I have heard a lot of this, but of course, then she says, in that particular post, she was saying, there are no sources.
Right.
Well, then how do you know?
It would have to be personal experience. But yeah, there's. Let's back up a little bit too, because we Guy and I are jumping into this feet first, because we had just found out about it yesterday, and I did as much research as I could find time for yesterday looking into it.
Right. As we have warned you in the past, our information is also very, very new. So, you know, kind of take it with some information. We're just trying to get a balanced idea of what's going on.
So I think the important thing to look at here is there's one main subject, one person that is at the center of attention of this situation. Then there's their friend who was with them at the time that what they said happened. And the friend is the one who had written what I had just read. And then there is also another podcast person who was investigating this, and they are who I would consider the third person involved, because they've gotten a little bit of negative flack, but also positive for their investigation into it. And I've been in touch with that person, and they go, it's Tiefel Cosplay. Am I pronouncing that right? I got to back up. I believe it's from Final Fantasy.
Oh, Tifa?
Tifa, but there's an A in the back. Tiefel with a capital A,
Tiefel
Cosplay.
Tiefel A, Cosplay.
And they have something called Cospods is the name of their podcast. So if you look up Cospod, they've been doing podcasting.
Investigation on this.
Well, their main thing is 100% cosplay. And so their podcasts are on all kinds of tips and tricks on making costumes.
Which is
such.
Cool.
It's fantastic, if that's the thing you like. And a great source to be looking into it. So I had spoken to them because they had came into it because they had noticed a few things that were mentioned that were kind of red flags as to making it not sound true.
Right.
And here's where we come in with our interest in this. Some of the community just were extremely rude to both the person that this has happened to and their friend, immediately calling them liars and all kinds of really bad names and all kinds of negative posts that they were just presuming right away that they were guilty and going over the top with their disrespect for it. And this goes completely against our mission statement, which to us means, hey, we should step up and say, stop, you know, the Will Wheaton rule. Don't be a jerk. We'll edit that.
Yeah. Safe for my son, safe for your son.
Yes.
Don't be a jerk. But yeah, it's still.
You know what we mean if you're part of our geek community.
If you're part of our community, you've heard him say it more than once.
So a lot of people are choosing to be jerks on this. And looking into
and it's the presumption of malice that
we've
talked about this before,
right? Which is a major theory of you that a lot of root causes for problems is someone involved assumes that whatever the action was taken by the other person has malice involved behind it,
right? Which, in the end, usually most of the time ends up being not true.
Right.
There was no malice; it was either accidental or a misunderstanding. And
even if there was. Why are these people feeling the justified in being judge and jury and executioner of coming forth and doing this?
Right. Why are they being vigilantes?
The thing that popped into my mind is, if this is a lie and a purpose, that's a sign of something greater that needs to be handled with more gentle care. Which I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that if it was, this is the wrong way to be handling it. There should be a lot more, hey, what's the real problem? What's going on here? How can we help? Is the way it should go about.
Right. I mean, as far as I can tell, Yaya Han makes her own costumes, which I think is the stipulation.
She does. I don't have her... I don't have the exact names in front of me, but this was a partnership.
Right.
So she basically sold the rights to use her name on this, and a different company is actually producing the stuff.
Right. So she doesn't actually have... I mean, it's like the president doesn't have a lot of actual... literal control over things.
Right.
She wouldn't have a lot of control over what was created or said. So even if it was a Chinese manufacturer with a specific kind of anti-mold agent, which I know that some fabrics from China are dipped in anti-mold agents because there's mold. And so I know this because I'm allergic to mold. And so anti-mold agents are actually things that are interesting to me. Also, apparently some of the anti-mold agents are the same stuff that they have that are potential treatments for psoriasis, which is another thing that I have psoriasis, and so that kind of thing interests me too. So I know
good thing
that
you're not a cosplayer.
I know. Totally. Yeah. Although maybe if it's the same thing that's anti-psoriasis and anti-mold, it might actually not make me break out in a rash, but rather might stop me from breaking out, which would be great.
Now, I know a couple of people who just can't try on clothes at stores because they have to wash everything they get to make sure that there's nothing on it that's going to cause them a problem.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's the, I think we should probably take a break here is where we'd be taking our break. And
yep.
We'll come back and we'll go on to more of, we have the
we
name.
We have more of this.
We have
to
more
go
of this.
Into.
We'll go on and read the actual account from the person what happened to catch you up to date on what their side of the story is, which I think is important to do.
Right. More after this.
You are listening to Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, our mission statement, to bring the geek community together and promote respect within. And we're back.
Okay, so, you know, we've given you a little bit of the background and the situation that we brought up. But
right.
What we don't really want to concentrate specifically on that, because
right.
That's not actually why we've got this as a podcast.
Yes, we're not here to do an investigation to determine whether what happened the way it was said, not to poke holes in any stories necessarily or look for...
Or to refer to, yeah, or to research it or anything
yes.
like that. So, for the sake of this podcast, the person involved is gender fluid, although he has referred to himself as a she a couple of times, so...
Right.
For this purpose, we're just going to go for he, for lack of a gender-neutral pronoun. So,
which
no offense intended,
yes.
If you're listening to this podcast.
Yes. We apologize if that was not your preference at this point.
Right.
We're just going to... Also, there was a really good article written by Danielle Yuen, which I believe went by Dagger... It's under the
Dagger
name 6. Dagger 6.
And we're presuming that's also Danielle Yuen is the same Dagger 6 who did the article.
Yes.
So
and
she's
the
one doing the research on it. So
in that article was specifically requested by Alexander to refer to the gender by Mel at that point. So we're going off of those, we are going to refer to Alexander as Mel.
As a he.
And obviously, I can't help but feel that there's that in itself is a source why people were being jerks. Which
yeah, maybe.
It does not excuse it in the slightest.
Nope.
And again, while we're going to not focus on the details of this, on February 9th at 12:16 a.m., Alexander specifically said, and quote, "Everyone please drop the yaya hand fabric post. If my doctor is sure that..." I'm going to infer words here, I'm sorry. "...that it is sure that it is the anti-molding, then it is the anti-molding." So, that's Alex wants it dropped. And
yeah.
so we want to respect that.
I'm totally cool with dropping the initial problem.
Yes.
What we're interested in is the disrespect and the backlash.
Which is not something we can drop.
Which
because
is not something we can
that
drop.
Goes against our mission statement.
Yeah. And it is a problem. I mean, even if it's Yaya Han that you're against, or even if it's this individual who you're against, for whatever reason, we seem to have a real problem in all of our geeky communities with this... rise to action sort of thing where we have to get mad and get upset.
It becomes a witch hunt.
Right, and it becomes a witch hunt. And then if you're not guilty, you get the mark of Cain and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The witch hunt has succeeded. You are ostracized and you end up having to be forced out of doing what you love to do.
It's crazy. And with the internet, all it takes is just a few people saying something, and it's out there.
Yeah.
And trying to curtail that and get it back and make it right is really hard, next to impossible.
Yeah. I mean, once it's out there, it's out there. And so, I mean, I caution... I mean, I guess my caution would be that all of us in our community need to think before we speak. And then we need to think before we react.
And the reaction needs to be respectful, no matter... how guilty you think someone is or how
right.
much you disapprove. The language, because I'd read some of the comments and regret that I did in a way because it's
yeah.
just disturbing and irritating. That
well, reading comments anywhere
yeah,
is really
anywhere.
Disturbing or irritating. Well, I read comments on CNN and I'm like, oh God, how are these people voting?
Yeah, but
I mean,
the geek community is
I'm a
part
Fox.
I'm a part of it.
Right.
The Fox community, I'm not. So when I see it from my own people,
yeah.
to put it that way, it's just, we should know better.
We should.
We've been through ridicule as geeks.
Absolutely. All of us have been here.
And
I mean, we've all had to defend our geekdom.
We don't own ridicule, obviously, but it's one of those when you see people that should know better by putting themselves in other people's shoes, you know, you need to come at this with a more respectful way.
Right. And we were there. I mean, I've talked about it numerous times on the podcast about being eating sand on the playground. You know, I wear my Starfleet jumper everywhere I go,
mm-hmm.
and I'm proud of it. And I know I get weird looks, and I get, you know, I get like the I don't know what that guy's doing sort of looks, and from the people who aren't in the. But whenever I meet one of my own people, they're like, "Dude, that's awesome! Where did you get the communicator?" You know, because I wear a communicator on my jumper too. And it's like, it's an instant invitation to talk to me about Star Trek, because I'm totally open with it.
But it's not an instant invitation to ridicule you for it.
Right. Right.
So it's...
I don't know. I mean, this is part of what the issue is here. I mean, what I was alluding to earlier is it seems like in the cosplay community, and I'm an outsider looking in on the cosplay community, so
correct.
Understand that. Although, recently... Mariah and I, my wife and I, have been talking about the idea of actually doing Starfleet uniforms and making them to wear, which I think would be a lot of fun. So I might be entering into the cosplay community. However, at this moment, we are outsiders looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I understand, the biggest no-no in the cosplay community is to purchase a costume.
Well, it's the, you know, having talked to...
And say that you made it.
Yeah, that would be the key there. Cause,
right, because you purchase a costume and then say you made it.
Cosplay runs the gambit of people who are okay with purchasing, and there are people who feel that if you purchase it, you're not getting into the full experience. But that's plagiarism, essentially. You're stealing someone else's work and claiming it as your own. So
Which is a completely different podcast that we should get into, because I've heard that one recently, too. Because they're actually talking about that one on Supreme Court. The idea of... about the idea of whether it's plagiarism to make a costume based on a Disney show or something like that.
Oh yeah, because some cosplayers go to birthday parties and are paid to be those characters, and so
right.
the question becomes: should any of that money be going to Disney if you're cosplaying as a Disney princess?
So anyway, that's a different podcast entirely. We'll talk about that.
But yeah, it's definitely a big no-no in the community to buy a costume and say it's yours, because
right.
it's a lie.
To which Yaya Han seems to be following all of their internal rules.
Mm-hmm.
She makes her own costumes. She creates her own costumes. So that in and of itself kind of is a thing. But we were talking about all kinds of other interesting things that are part of this. Like, you were bringing up an issue with Felicia Day.
Yeah, Felicia Day recently had a costume 3D printed for her as a gift and also as a promotion of the company. And I guess it took a really long time. It's a very elaborate costume.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It looks like thorn branches almost.
And one of the, reading the comments, again, you know, this is a rule that I came up with that I constantly break. I always tell myself, don't read the comments.
Right.
And I keep breaking that rule.
But it gives us something to talk about in our podcast. So, you know.
Like we don't have enough stuff to talk about.
I don't know.
So one of the comments that caught my eye was someone saying, you know, this isn't cosplay. You didn't make it yourself. It wasn't made by hand. So is using technology to produce a piece, a major piece of your costume, like more than 50% of it, is that breaking some rule because you didn't hand sew it or put it together in some fashion? And because to me that seemed ridiculous, because you're just adapting cosplay to new technology that's available.
Right, right, right.
And if you want to take it into the realm of science fiction, if we had replicators like in Star Trek, well, couldn't you just replicate whatever you wanted anyway?
Well, it's interesting. We just had this discussion last night, which was you and I had this discussion when one of our friends was talking about I had a Phoenix that I'd gotten, a USS Phoenix, for our attack wing, and it was broken, so I have to fix it. And I'm aggravated because I have to fix it, but it's no big deal. I can fix it.
You can fix it, and it's not worth sending it back to get another one.
It's not worth it sending it back. That's even more ridiculous. I was going to put an ink wash on it anyway, so... Well, it's a part. It's actually easier to put the ink
wash
on.
I know you said ink wash, but my brain heard egg wash.
I was going to put an egg wash on it.
Tempura Federation.
So it'd be like tempura Federation. Yeah, it'd be fluffy. But you and I were talking, and our friend, who's also an attack wing person, jumped in, and she was saying, "Are you going to change out the sensor dish?" Because she's like me,
hardcore.
She's a hardcore, and it's the wrong sensor dish on the top of that ship for that ship. You know, they had a standard
nebula. What's
funny
is that both cracks me up, and I am in awe of respect for that level of knowledge. It's a weird combination of, like, I find it hilarious, but I also am, and it's because you guys, both you and her, were pointing out to me, hey, the warp nacelles on this Klingon ship's backwards, and the bridge, which is a little tiny dot, was to
turned
the
90
left.
Degrees.
Yeah, turned 90 degrees, which are things that I hadn't noticed because I'm not as big in Star Trek. I respect Star Trek. I like Star Trek, but I'm not there on that same level.
Or the time that we went over to Mile High Comics and I said their Andorian ship was upside down.
Yes, it's like, hey, this ship's upside down, which looked totally fine to me because it's a ship with wings.
Right.
Looked just as good upside down as it did right side up. If I was inside of it, in a gravity environment, I probably disagree, but in space, who cares?
Right.
In space,
but
no one
Star
can
Trek
hear you upside
very,
down.
Yeah, in space, nobody can hear you upside down. But I think it's interesting because we were talking about this, and she had posted a link to Shapeways.
Yes.
Which makes the correct sensor, you know, that you can order the correct sensor pod.
Yes.
And you were like, well, why don't you just make it?
Yeah, kitbash it.
Yeah, why don't you just kitbash it? And my response was, I don't think I have a Cylon ship that's small.
Sure.
But
thinking was, I know the ship was like $10.
The ship was $10, and the sensor would be $10 plus like $5 for shipping.
Right, so it's more than the cost of the ship. So my brain, being all frugal and everything, and also being creative, I figured, why not just scavenge through the parts you have and make it for free?
Right.
And so that's why my thinking went that way. But,
sure.
But to have
but
it exactly
it's
accurate.
Interesting that here's what we were talking about, right? Because I wanted it to be, and my friend, whom we haven't gotten permission to say her name on air,
so we won't.
But she and I are both on the same page, which is, it would be much more accurate with this 3D printed thing that in the end would cost more than the ship itself, but would be screen accurate.
Yes.
And you were like, kitbash it. I don't know if I want to kitbash it now because I could do it, but it wouldn't look as good.
Now, that kitbash comment did come from a place of frugalness and not from a critiquing you from just buying the part and replacing it, which is where I was seeing this comment
However,
for cosplay coming
from. I feel like that's an interesting... I feel like they're related in the, do you consider that when I finish the ship, let's say I order this $10 sensor.
Sure.
And I put the $10 sensor on the back of the ship. If I had kitbashed it and put a sensor on the back for like $2, would that be more valuable? Because that's what I'm thinking
on the slightest, almost not noticeable scale, yes.
Yeah.
But because it's not noticeable. And that's why it's... you would have to do a good enough job that it would not look ridiculous, I guess, for it to matter. Because it comes down to, would it look good enough for you to approve of it?
Exactly. And the truth of the matter is, it's all about me. Well, and apparently...
Me.
Yeah, it's all about me. Because it's my ship, and I'm the one that's going to sit there and spend hours upon hours detailing all of the escape pods on the dish, and detailing the phaser ring, and all of those pieces that we know I'm going to do whenever I get into this. And it's all about the fact that when I put that ship on the playing field, one person is going to notice that I have the accurate sensor dish on the back. Only one.
Yeah.
No one else is going to see it correctly. Nobody else is going to understand it and stuff like that. But one person, and that's going to make me happy. So
the question comes back to the cosplay aspect.
The cosplay aspect. What are you doing that for?
And you're never going to please everybody. There's always going to be somebody disappointed in whatever it is that you've done.
Yeah, if you had done it one way, it would have been, you know, not hand done. But then you think about all these people who spend literally hundreds of hours with Warbla making something that 3D printer printed, even if the 3D printer printed in 100 hours.
And Warbla, for those of you who don't know, it's a moldable
material.
I believe you get it really hot and then you can shape it. And then when it dries, when it cools down, then it's hardened.
It's hardened up. So they make armor out of it.
So a really skilled person could probably replicate what was 3D printed. It would have taken a lot more time. And from a craftsman's point of view, it would be way more impressive.
Right. Right.
So if
so
if you had to...
the question really is she, you know, because she's not a craftsman of that level, does that mean that she invites scorn? And I think I'm with you. No, she does not invite scorn by any stretch. It's no, there's no reason to scorn her because she doesn't have the skill. I mean, I could, in about 100 hours, sculpt a screen-accurate dish for my Phoenix and put that on there, but it would take me forever. I'd rather pay the $10 plus the $2 shipping and handling to have it sent to me in the mail.
So I know we're totally off topic with this when we do that, but I'm going to keep going down that rabbit hole. Have you ever sculpted anything?
A little, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not good at it.
Because
sculpting is not my thing.
I've not done a lot either, but I just, from my stance, I would think that you would not do a good job right off the bat, but I think your learning curve would be really fast with it.
Probably.
So that's why
And it would be interesting to be able to sculpt.
Yeah.
And I've always thought,
and you are a good artist, so it'd be interesting for you to explore that skill more since you like spaceships, and then you could sculpt around spaceships.
Right.
So we should jump away for a station break real quick.
Yep, we will go away for a quick break, and we'll be back after this. And we're back. So, I think the thing that I'm most curious about, we're talking to Chelsea, one of our cosplay buddies,
yeah,
who really is hardcore cosplayer and stuff like that, and she's
right,
very much into these things.
Heavily into NadesuCon.
Yeah, yeah, NDK and stuff like that. So, one of the things she had said was, this post scared a lot of people. And I think that's probably the result of what we're
right,
trying to get to.
I mean, that's what got me interested in looking into it, because my friend automatically had decided off of that one post, I'm not going to give this a chance.
Right, so Yaya Han lost her purchase, right?
Right.
Based on whatever. And whether it was right or wrong or somewhere in between, that purchase was lost. Now, Yaya Han, I've got to give her props. I don't know anything about her, but I do know one thing. She's a cosplayer who is now a career cosplayer.
She took her passion and made it her job.
Right. As an artist who's trying to make a living being an artist, I respect that fully.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's something I want to do, is be an artist, get out there and spend my life doing art and telling stories. And so I have to give her real major props for doing it right. So, you know,
and naturally,
I don't like Troy. I have decided I hate Troy, and so I'm going to go tell everybody that Troy is a. Then all of a sudden, Troy loses the ability to do.
Is that PG-13?
Probably. it's. That's what I said.
Okay. I prefer to think of myself as a.
Rapper.
I like to get out and bust a funky rhythm with the cats.
Yeah. So if I start telling stories about Troy busting a funky rhythm with cats, then
interesting euphemism.
Yeah.
Then yeah, you can't take that back.
Yeah, you can't take that back, and it hurts Troy. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. I mean, this is something we're also discovering with politics.
Yeah.
You could say something, anything. You can say the most outrageous thing, and people will believe it. And that will ruin it. And with a community as small as cosplay, ruining it could ruin the ability for Yaya Han to continue to live her passion.
Right. Something interesting that Chelsea, and thank you again, Chelsea, for all of your
yeah.
help, because you jumped right in there. Because I put out the general call to the Facebook community of ours of, hey, has anybody who's involved in cosplay heard of this? Because I'd like to get more information on what's happening. And she jumped right to the forefront and gave me a lot of leads on things.
Yeah.
One of the things that she pointed out was the cosplay community is a lot like the Jets and the Sharks from West Side Story. You get these clicks, and some of the clicks are very disrespectful because of whatever reason. The obvious one would be if they can defame the other cliques, then that promotes their clique inadvertently.
Well, and we get them as well with the Star Wars, Star Trek. We get that kind of clique. And
you,
even
yes.
inside Star Trek, Now we've got the J.J. Abrams. We like J.J. Abrams, and we don't like J.J. Abrams.
Right, and if you like J.J. Abrams, then we disown you.
Right, exactly. Which... And all of a sudden, you know, because it's like, me, I'm okay with J.J. Abrams to some degree. I didn't mind it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't like it necessarily. I wasn't fond of Into Darkness. But I get in there, and I say that, and people are like, well, you're not a real Trekkie. Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been watching Star Trek since 1975. I am seriously a Trekkie, you know. And so you can't write me off because I'm not adhering to the original Trek.
Sure.
And we get this every time. I remember when we had this with Enterprise. If you liked Enterprise, you weren't a real Trekkie. If you liked Voyager, you weren't a real Trekkie. If you liked Deep Space Nine, you weren't a real Trekkie.
Which has to be a lot of the feeling safe within their community and within their clique.
Right.
And you see this a lot with sports.
Oh, yeah.
You get extreme physical violent rages over whose team's better among fans.
Which is ridiculous.
And because a lot of the community in the geekdom is not physically violent, you get it, I guess, in this angle of the attacking for, through writing and comments.
Right.
So you get that same level of violence, but it's all words.
Right, right.
And so they're immediately attacking people that they feel have wronged the community or wronged their aspect of that community.
Right.
Instead of coming forward and saying, excuse me, but this part of this doesn't seem right. I think you might have told, you're coming across in a way that's making this not seem true. Can you please elaborate?
Exactly.
You know, approach it with some politeness, even if you are in doubt of it. And really, the two people that matter here are Yahya Han and Alex.
Right.
Because the situation is Alex is having a problem with this, wanted to warn people that the fabric might be dangerous to them. And because they were having a situation that happened to them, they were panicking and coming out, you know, more emotional than they needed to. So that came across in a way that hurt this.
Right.
And I can understand that. If I drank a beverage and all of a sudden my tongue falls out, I'm going to put the two together and assume that's what had happened. And
right.
I couldn't tell anybody because my tongue fell out. I'd have to use Twitter and such. But I would...
Could you do it in 140 characters or less? That's the question.
I would make it a multi-part situation.
Right.
So it would...
Here's the story of my tongue.
Yes, and so with pictures and all. And so obviously it's going to cause a panic of people with the beverage, but it could have not even been related, but you don't know. So it creates this issue. So handling it, we need to be respectful. We have to think, if this was me in this situation and I panicked and said something, how would I want people to respond to that?
Right, right.
And
right.
It all comes back to empathy, and we had mentioned how role players and actors tend to have, not all of them, but most tend to be able to put themselves in another person's shoes because it's what they do for fun as a role-playing character, is they think through a situation as that person.
Right.
And you need to say, okay, I need to hold on. I need to give it a day.
Right.
And before I approach it.
Count to 10.
Yeah. what Dora the Explorer says, but she does it in Spanish.
Right.
So I think if you're one of these people who had said one of these comments in a hurting way, you owe it to Alex and you owe it to whoever you've came at this to apologize.
Yeah.
To start mending these broken fences. And regardless of whether it's true or not, respect needs to be upheld.
Right. I mean, we all of us have things that make us unique. But things that make people unique are often scary to people for the same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I understand that you're a little startled or shocked by people who are whatever. But it's not a reason to abuse. It's not a reason to hurt.
Yeah, we are stronger as a community when we come together and not reject people.
Absolutely. We're stronger together than we are apart. So,
well, I don't know where else to go with this, and I think
we're pretty much done. You should be at your work right now, and you're probably sitting in your car going, I wish I could go inside.
I thought you were talking to me for a minute. I'm like, no. I am at my work.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't pay anything, but I'm at my work.
Yeah, we like this work. And if you want to pay for some, or help us pay for this, you can go to patreon.com/foxblade.
Well, and I do recommend, if you can think of... perks that you'd like to see on there? Because I think that's one of the areas we're struggling with our Patreon.
What do you guys want?
What can we offer that would make it worth it?
What can we offer? I mean, you know.
FaceTime on Google Hangouts.
Something. And you can send those to questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
But don't type it three times. He was just saying that to help you remember it.
Just help you remember it.
You can go to our Facebook page. Just look up Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Yep.
And you can also just go to our webpage, which is, there's not a lot there. It refers you back to our Facebook page. So
pretty
just
much.
Go to our Facebook page. Although we do keep all our podcasts on our Facebook page.
Yes, we do. So you can go back.
Yep. So I would like to thank, again, Chelsea Grammer. Did I say that wrong?
You said Chelsea.
Chelsea Kramer. Chelsea Kramer for her help in researching it. I would also like to thank Tiefel A. Cosplay for the work that she did in investigating it. And I'd also like to thank Dagger Six. Also, we're assuming Daniel Yun for this.
Yeah.
And I apologize to you, Alexander Anton, for not contacting you directly, but we felt it was super urgent to get this out as quick as possible. And I hope you're healing well.
Yeah, I do too. That's kind of a scary, scary situation.
It is.
It sucks to be at a convention, going down and ending up in an ambulance.
Yes.
That is an unpleasant place to be.
You have our sympathy, and get well soon.
Yep. Okay, well, that's it for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, and as always, this podcast will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Good night.